Blog Talk Radio.
We're getting there, people. After 2 weeks of talking about fantasy baseball's outfielders, we forge ahead and continue our pilgrimage around the baseball field. This time, we're going to stop behind home plate and analyze the backstop position. That's right. It's time to talk about fantasy baseball's catchers. I remember in Little League, all of the best teams had a strong catcher behind the plate, so we're going to work on finding you your best catcher, the one that fits your fantasy team best. Hopefully you play in a league where you're only starting one catcher. This position doesn't seem to be as deep as I remember it in recent years. But before we do that, we received a lot of feedback regarding our study of fantasy baseball's outfielders, and I want to respond to your comments. And, does Willie need to free Kung Fu Panda? You're going to have a lot of fun today. This is a great show. I am the living legend, Joe Galina. And it's just a fantasy sports show. Starts right now. Okay, so thank you for reaching out to me. Remember, you could always do so via Twitter. My handle is simple. It's at Joe Galina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. So we had a big response regarding our two-week dissection of the fantasy baseball outfield position. A lot of people asked how I can leave out Nelson Cruz when talking about top fantasy outfielders, and I had planned on talking about him as more of a DH, but since he did play 70 games in the outfield last year, and since you want me to talk about him, it's my job to give up. That's right. Cruz led the majors last year in home runs with 40, but is moving away from Camden Yards and their 2.16 home runs per game average to the more cavernous Safeco Field in Seattle with its 1.73 home runs per game average. And is that going to affect his power numbers?
Darn right.
I agree, Sarah. And, oh, by the way, give a big wave and a wink to our friends in Russia. I know you can see them from your backyard. How much did playing in Camden Yards help Cruz's home run power in 2014? Well, his average fly ball rate distance actually dropped 10 feet in 2014, and yet his home run total increased by 13. So overall, I really liked what he did last year. His strikeout rate was down, his walk rate was up, and he batted .271, even though his batting average with balls in play was 11 points below his career average. I'm predicting another good year for Cruz, but his numbers should level off a bit. Maybe a .265 batting average, just about 30 home runs, 90-plus RBIs, and maybe 5 stolen bases thrown in there for good measure. Another guy that people were asking about was Yankee outfielder Brett Gardner, who hit a career-high 17 home runs. His previous high was 8, by the way. So I checked out his average fly ball distance rate. There was no difference between 2013 and 2014, and he's pulled the ball as much as he always did, so it's not like he just discovered that short porch in right field at Yankee Stadium. So I've got to think that his home run numbers in 2015 are going to take a big step back. He might hit 10 if he's lucky. His stolen bases over the years have gone down big time. I mean, up until 2010, you would consider him to be a regular 40-steal guy. But over the past couple of seasons, he has been more of a 25 stolen base kind of guy, right? I think he will probably stay in that range. Maybe he can jump to 30 or so. I mean, he's still in the middle of his prime, and supposedly he always has the green light to go if he thinks he could steal a base. So I can't understand why he doesn't run as much as he once did. And if his home run numbers and stolen base numbers are both going to go down, and for the most part he's just a career 270 hitter, despite batting .256 last season, I'd say he's just a marginally attractive fantasy player. It basically depends on the size of your league. I've seen him get picked as high as the 6th round. I just don't see it. I mean, if I had a choice between a Nelson Cruz and a Brett Gardner, and by the way, they're both being drafted at just about the same time, I'm going to go to Cruz every time. I'm going to pick Nelson Cruz. Okay, so it's time to quickly chat about Boston's own Kung Fu Panda.
Everybody was Kung Fu.
Of course, I'm talking about Pablo Sandoval, and as spring training camps opened up this week, the baseball media was looking for any juicy story that they could sink their teeth into, and based on the picture of Sandoval surfacing around the internet, at the Boston Red Sox spring training camp. It's a profile shot of him on the field, and let's face it, Sandoval has got a gut. He looks like a regular guy who's on a softball beer league. Oh, but wait a minute. Oh, yeah, he's got 3 World Series rings to wear on his pudgy little fingers, right? Here's what the living legend has to say. Sandoval came into camp last year, looked all ripped, right? There was a photo circulating around him. He was topless, flexing, and he proceeded to bat 171 for the first month of the season. Once he put the weight back on midseason, he started to hit again. So to his credit, Sandoval has said he will show the kind of player that he is with his bat and glove, and I'm sure he will. Let's face it, Sandoval has built a successful career, and he's always been a bit portly. I mean, who isn't, right? Someone from the San Francisco Giants did say that they did notice that historically, if Sandoval's weight rises above a certain level, we don't know what that level is, then it does start to affect his on-field performance. Look, by the end of the season, Sandoval will put up the kind of numbers that we all expect of him. But if he does decide to try to lose a couple of pounds, the living legend's got a great diet for him. I mean, you see, you take
a bay leaves, a clove, garlic, incense, and half a chicken.
Well, you know what? If Sandoval's interested and he wants the recipe, he could inbox me privately. Just get off his back, people. He'll be fine, all right? Now let's go to school for our fantasy baseball draft tip of the week. After the Sandoval story, I think our tip should be to accept people for who they are.
It doesn't matter
if they're fat, skinny, black, white, orange, green, just live and let live. But you came here to learn about some fantasy baseball draft techniques.
And doggone it,
that's exactly what you're going to get. So now the camps are opening up across Florida and Arizona, it's important for you to pay attention to what's going on. Keep up with the current events in the world of baseball. I mean, you could read all of the fantasy baseball magazines and listen to all the podcasts you want, but you need to make sure that you're paying attention to all the real-time news coming out of spring training camps on a daily basis. Check out rotoballer.com, rotoballer.com, rotoworld.com, ESPN. Check them all out on a daily basis. Familiarize yourself with what's going on. Pay attention to the little things. I remember last preseason, news came out that Shin-Soo Chu, outfielder for the Rangers, was dealing with a minor injury. Rangers were downplaying the situation. Chu's ADP was the same as it ever was. Fantasy owners didn't clearly hear the signals, didn't realize that where there's smoke, there's fire, and they drafted him without thinking twice, and he ended up having one of the worst statistical years of his career. Do you want that to happen to you? Of course not. Keep abreast. That's right. I used a variation of the word breast. All right, guys, enough, right? Okay, I'm going to say it again. Keep abreast of all the latest happenings in spring training camps and read between the lines. That's right, that was our fantasy baseball draft tip of the week. Brought to you by our sponsors, OrganicVibrations.com. For the best in organic foods and products, visit their site, visit their Facebook page. Remember, it's OrganicVibrations.com. I also want you to visit RotoBaller.com, RotoBaller.com, RotoBaller.com. I, me, the living legend, am a regular contributor to the site. Great fantasy sports content. Also, be sure to check out their open chat rooms where you can interact with your peers regarding anything having to do with fantasy sports, draft advice, trade advice. It's really a great feature. All right? So you've waited long enough.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started. Yeah.
Something tells me you want me to get it started. Let's analyze the catcher position, which in my opinion is not as deep as it has been in recent years. There are a few more question marks surrounding the backstop position, but the living legend's choice for the platinum-level catcher is Buster Posey. He's a perennial 300 hitter, low 20 home run, 90 to 100 RBI kind of guy entering his magical 27th year. He plays enough games at first base, 35 last season, to ensure that he is fresh enough to stay in the lineup. He came to the plate 547 times last season, and he put up some good numbers in August and September, 336 and 393 respectively in those final 2 months of the season. So he that shows you that he's not wearing down as the season progresses. So hands down, Buster Posey.
You did it! Congratulations!
You join Paul Goldschmidt, Robinson Cano, Ian Desmond, and Adrian Beltre in the elite group of the Living Legends Platinum Fantasy Baseball Players, and you will win absolutely nothing. Look for Posey to be a second to third round pick in most drafts. At the number two spot amongst fantasy catchers and the first of our two level catchers, I have to go with Jonathan LaCroix. At 28, he's still in his prime, he's durable, and with 19 games played at first base last season, he probably has multi-position eligibility in most leagues. He's a .285 lifetime hitter who has batted as high as .320 in a single season. Power-wise, he can hit just about 15 home runs or so and drive in 75 to 85 RBIs. He has an above-average contact rate, and he doesn't strike out much. He's just a notch below Posey. Posey has a bit more power. LaCroix can steal a few more bases for you. Look for LaCroix to start getting drafted beginning of the fifth round. It's amazing how quickly fantasy baseball owners forget how good our third-ranked catcher, Yadier Molina, is. St. Louis Cardinal missed a big chunk of time with a thumb ligament injury that limited him to just 404 at-bats, but he still had a productive season when he played. He batted .282, 7 home runs, 38 RBIs last season. He has been around a while, but he's still only 32 years old, and he still has a few good years left. He's been available in the 8th or 9th rounds of most drafts. That's when he's starting to get drafted. He's almost like a sleeper based on where you're able to pick him up in drafts. He's going to have lots of value. I'm thinking his stats this year are going to return to what you'd normally expect from him. Maybe a .290 batting average, a lucky 13 home runs, and 70-plus RBIs. That's right. We quickly moved to our silver category. Most of the catchers we ranked ended up at this level. These are the guys that I would expect to have good years, but I just can't guarantee it. And that's why they can't be considered gold-level fantasy plays. For instance, I'm going to be talking about Devin Mesoraco. He had his first great year last season. Once he shows me that he can do it again, then I'll be comfortable moving him up to that gold-level standard. Gold-level players, to me, are a sure thing, right? I mean, you can't factor in injuries, but if all things considered, gold is a sure thing. So now, in this spot, the fourth overall, this is where I would usually place Carlos Santana. He only played 11 games at catcher, so it depends on your league rules as to whether or not he's still eligible at the backstop position. But if he is eligible at catcher, that means that he's probably going to be eligible at first base and third base as well. So that makes him super valuable. I mean, he put up some good power numbers last season, but he really slumped when it came to hitting for average. He batted just .231 overall last season. Yes, his batting average with balls in play was almost 30 points off of his career average, and maybe he hit into a bunch of bad luck, but he was also very streaky. I mean, if you broke down his 2014 season into thirds, then you would have wanted to own shares in the middle third of his season last year. He batted way under .200 through the end of May. He got hot in June and July, hitting over .300 in those months, and then he cooled off for the rest of the year beginning in August. So what could you expect from him in 2015? As of today, which is February 21st, I'm thinking no more than a .250 average, 25 home runs, and 75 to 80 RBIs. For your fantasy team's sake, I just hope he can be a bit more consistent. He is being drafted early in the sixth rounds of most drafts, which I don't know if I agree with it, but, you know, let's move on to number five. And it's 26-year-old Cincinnati Red Devin Mesoraco. Spoke about him just a couple seconds ago. He finally got regular at-bats and put together a big breakout campaign, banging out 25 home runs in just under 400 at-bats. His isolated power average, which is a measure of how often a player hits for extra bases, was .260, and that level is way off the charts. Really great. I mean, he could do better at making contact with the ball. His 71% contact rate is well below average, and if repeated, can affect his overall batting average. It's going to make it go down if he can repeat that 71% contact rate. The living legend does foresee a bit of a sophomore year regression, maybe a little bit of a slump, predicts a 255 batting average, another 25 home runs or so, and maybe 75-plus RBIs. You should start to see him being taken off the board beginning in the sixth round, which brings us up to our sixth-ranked fantasy catcher, Yan Gomes. He enters his 27th year for the Indians, and it should be a good one. He's played some first base and third base in his career in the past, but should not be eligible at either position in your league since he played catcher exclusively last season. The only reason I mention it is because if the Indians feel that he needs to take a rest, they could always give him a spot start at either position just to keep his bat in the lineup, right? And they, who knows, down the road he might gain multi-position eligibility at either one of those spots. He has an above-average line drive rate, and he even seemed to get stronger as the season progressed, which is unusual for an everyday catcher. He had an overall 278 average, but batted 303 after the All-Star break. I look for him to bat about 280 to 285 this upcoming season, bang out 20 home runs or so, and drive in 70 to 75 runs. Looks like you should aim to have your number one catcher by the sixth to eighth rounds of your draft, because that's where he's being taken. And it seems that a lot of people in the silver category, that's where they're being taken, right? Moving on to number seven. We talk about 26-year-old Colorado Rocky Willian Rosario. He's looking for a big bounce-back season after suffering through a wrist injury and dealing with a lingering viral infection last season. Contributed to him only hitting 13 home runs in 2014. I was high on him. I drafted him last year. Obviously, I was a little disappointed. He is known to be very aggressive at the plate, but the good news is that his walk percentage went up and his strikeout percentage went down, and his contact rate did go up last season. So a healthy 2015 season, hopefully he could regain the power that made him one of the most sought-after catchers in fantasy baseball. Look for him to start coming off the board between the 10th to 12th rounds. So you have a little time with him. People not taking a chance on him making a bounce back. But we move on to our eighth-ranked catcher. And just when you think that Nationals catcher Wilson Ramos is about to turn the corner in his career and develop into the power-hitting catcher we've been expecting him to turn into, he develops another injury, and we have to sit and wait. I mean, he is entering his age 27 season, so if only he could stay healthy, he could end up being a great sleeper pick. But until then...
I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson!
Yeah, I'm sorry for getting a little emotional there, but Wilson, I am sorry. I can't rank you any higher than my eighth best fantasy catcher, and apparently fantasy owners have a little trepidation in drafting you as well. Wilson was going as late as the 14th round in some drafts. Like I said, if he could get his act together, stay healthy, he could be a very valuable in relation to where you might be able to pick him up in your draft, right? Let's move over to Houston and my ninth best fantasy catcher, Evan Gattis, right? I don't think he's going to see much time behind the plate in Houston this season, which could actually be a good thing. I mean, he's expected to see a bunch of time in the Astro outfield. Make no mistake about it, Gattis is a one-dimensional player, but the one dimension that he provides, home run power, happens to be in very high demand this season. He is basically a 250 hitter who, if he gets over 500 at-bats, can hit 30 home runs. Now, if your league penalizes you for offensive strikeouts, you might want to stay away from Gattis because he strikes out a ton. A lot of fantasy owners like his move to Houston, and be prepared to go after him starting in the fifth round because that's when they're going after him, right? Number 10, and the living legend is a Yankee fan, and it pains me to rank Brian McCann as low as I have. I'm getting a bad feeling that the Yankees may be in for a couple of lean years. But I really do like catcher Brian McCann. Unfortunately, with overall batting averages in the 230s in two out of the last three seasons, and after I watched him struggle against the defensive shifts that were being played against him last season, and him basically not being able to do anything to adjust his approach so that he wouldn't be so susceptible to those shifts, it makes me difficult to recommend him right any higher than a number 10. On the positive side, 19 of his 23 home runs did come at home in Yankee Stadium, so 25 home runs is not out of the question for him this season. But you have to question whether or not his low batting average last season was due in large part to a low batting average with balls in play, which would mean he hit into a lot of bad luck? Or is it the result of his swing being perfectly suited to the defensive shifts that were played against him last season? As much as it pains me, I predict a 245 batting average for him this season. Yes, I do think that he's going to hit at least 25 home runs and drive in 80 runs. But looks like the fantasy field doesn't agree with me. He's starting to come off the board during the eighth round of preseason drafts. So they, feel stronger that he's going to have a rebound season. I'm not so sure. Moving on to number 11 is Kansas City. Catcher Salvador Perez. Now, Perez has a tendency to be a very impatient hitter. He swings at everything, and not just the pitches that are
just a bit outside.
And that has caused him to have a very low walk rate as well as a high contact rate. But I guess if you're going to swing at everything and your swinging rate is going to be almost 10% higher than the league average, then you're bound to have a high contact rate. Right. Further analysis shows that Perez hit a higher percentage of fly balls last season. However, he converted fewer of those fly balls into home runs because his average fly ball rate dropped from 277 feet in 2013 to 269 feet in 2014. All of that has caused his overall batting average to drop in each of his last four major league seasons. What a mess, huh? He tailed off big time in the second half of last season, batting 229 with just six home runs. And although he's just 25 years old, he did have one heck of a long year last season, playing in the World Series and then playing in Japan after the season was done. I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to predict that he hits 274 next season with 15 home runs and 70 RBIs. He is getting drafted beginning in the seventh or eighth rounds of preseason drafts. So next, we're going to talk about Matt Wieters, and I would have ranked him a bit higher, but let's wait and see how he responds to last season's Tommy John surgery. He looked like he was on his way to having a true breakout season in 2014 until he got hurt. He claims he'll be ready for opening day. The best advice I could give you is to watch him this spring. Let's try to gauge how ready he's going to actually be come April. Fantasy owners are optimistic that he's going to be ready because they're drafting him in the ninth and tenth rounds of preseason drafts. One quick note, he is playing for a new contract, so that might help him to heal a bit sooner. Lucky number 13 on our ranking of the top fantasy catchers is Toronto Blue Jay Russell Martin. That's right, he turned a pretty good year into a heck of a lot of money. I personally think the Blue Jays overpaid for him. They gave him 5 years, $82 million. Come on. Basically, Martin used to be a very good offensive catcher in the first 3 years of his career. He was a 280 to 290 hitter who could steal anywhere from 10 to 20 bases, which is kind of unheard of for a catcher. He followed that up with five straight seasons of 250 or below batting averages. And as expected, he doesn't steal as many bases as he once did. It's understandable. A catcher takes a lot of wear and tear behind the plate. So in his walk year with the Pirates last season, all of a sudden he remembered how to hit 290, and he did club the 16 home runs. And although he said he loved playing for the Pirates, he decided to take the money and play in his home country. And God bless him, take the money when you can, right? Unfortunately, I don't think he is going to maintain that high batting average. His batting average with balls in play was abnormally high for him. I'm thinking that he regresses, maybe bats 255 or so. I'm being generous there because in previous years he batted a lot lower than that. 15 home runs is a definite possibility. 63 RBIs, that's right. 63, not 64 or 62. I said 63. Oh, and expect him to steal maybe five bases for you. Expect him to start getting drafted somewhere around the 10th to 12th round of your draft, right? Number 14 is a guy who's getting drafted in the 10th round. Fantasy owners think he is finally going to have his breakout season. We're talking about Travis d'Arnaud, the guy that the Mets got back from the Blue Jays in that R.A. Dickey trade a couple of years back. And if you look at his numbers, you ask yourself, why not? His line drive percentage is up, ground ball percentage is down, fly ball rate is up, and his home run to fly ball conversion rate went up last season. His contact rate did go up as well. A living legend has to agree all signs point to a decent year from this 25-year-old. He's got power and could hit 25 dingers next season. Couple that with probably maybe a 255 to 260 batting average and 50 RBIs, and he should have a pretty good season as he progresses, right? From here on in, the pickings get very slim. I mean, you might consider drafting some of these guys, Ben.
And monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Yeah, so I guess you kind of get the feeling that I don't think that you'll be drafting any of these guys, right? Let's start with Yasmani Grandal. He had a career-high 15 home runs for the Padres last season, but can he cut down on his strikeouts and bring his batting average up from the gutter? His new team, the Dodgers, think so, but I'm not really optimistic. I do have a bit of hope for former A and current Padre Derek Norris. He had 270 last season, banged out 10 home runs, and it wouldn't be out of the question for him to have a similar type year, maybe even add a bit to that home run total. He has hit a bunch of home runs during his minor league career. John Jaso could have a decent year for the Rays. Maybe a 270 batting average and 10 home runs are possible. Seattle Mariner catcher Mike Zunino has shown he can hit for power with his 22 home runs last season, but with a 199 batting average following a 214 batting average in 2013, how much faith can you have in this 23-year-old? I wouldn't take a chance on him. Maybe see how he does and then pick him up off the waiver wire. Can Astro catcher Jason Castro regroup in his age 27 season, lower his strikeouts, and raise that batting average up? I mean, he has the potential to hit some home runs, but he's got to work on some things this spring training. What can the Marlins expect from Gerard Sautelamacchia? Can he hit 25 home runs again like he did a couple years back? Remains to be seen. Like I said, this last group of players will most likely be guys that you're not drafting, but you'll be looking to add them off of your league's waiver wire once your primary fantasy catcher starts to falter, or maybe he goes down with an injury. Once you get past the platinum, gold, and silver level of catchers, it's tough figuring out who might provide you with value once spring training camps are really on the way, though. You're going to have a chance to get a better idea of how to rank these players. And the rankings that I do here every week, we're not going to re-rank everyone, but keep in mind that we're, for every position, that ranking will evolve. So we're going to keep an eye on what's going on in spring training for you, okay? I'd like to thank everyone who listened in this week for our evaluation of the fantasy baseball catcher position. I'd like to thank our guests, the Kinks, Sarah Palin, The Rock, The Moody Blues, Alice Cooper, Wayne, and Lord. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Well, next week we are going to highlight the fantasy baseball pitchers that you should be looking at. That's going to be real intense. Spring training camps will be open in full force this week. Remember, we do pre-tape our show. This show was released on February 21st, 2015. Don't forget to reach out to me on Twitter. My handle is @JoeGallina, @JoeGallina. If you have any comments about the show, especially if you hate the show, make sure to reach out to me. I want to hear from you. Maybe I could even answer some draft questions for you. Please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter @JoeGallina. Check out rotoballer.com. Great original content is being updated every day. And again, you need to utilize those live chat rooms where you can talk to your fantasy sports peers and get real-time fantasy advice, sports-wise, that is, from rotoballer experts like myself. Also, visit our other sponsor, organicvibrations.com, for the best in organic foods and products, organicvibrations.com. Make sure to also check out and like their Facebook page. That's going to slam the lid on things for today. Remember to keep moving straight ahead, and all of your fantasies will become realities. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Living Legend, Joe Gallina. Thanks for listening to It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show. We'll talk to you next week. Tell all your friends and neighbors to listen in as well.